Spirit Radio Podcasts.
You're listening to the positive sound of Spirit Radio. It is a Saturday magazine with Jackie. It's the bank holiday edition of Saturday magazine. We got a bank holiday. Isn't it great? Everybody's going to get Monday off. I love it. Well, not everybody, but some of us will. So it's the weekend and a bank holiday. And what better way to get it started than with a brand new piece of music? My next guest is a singer-songwriter from Wexford whose new album is out later this month. And she's going to be in the studio to tell us all about it. Angela Mahan. And we're really, really glad to have her here. But before we have a little chat with Angela, I'm just going to play her first song. You know what? Actually, Angela, I'm going to let you introduce yourself because I want you to tell us a little bit about this song as well. I don't like to go into a song too terribly cold. So, Angela, tell us, first of all, just, you know, maybe a little bit about who you are.
Okay. Good morning, Jackie. And good morning to all your listeners. Thanks very much for having me here.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So, my name is Angela Mahan and I am second eldest of one of nine.
Good
I was
on
born
you.
in the Curra and grew up there. And in my early 20s then, I had a huge conversion. And I was always singer-songwriter. I was always singing and I was always writing music. I studied music in Maynooth College just after my conversion. And this new music, this new EP, is all about the backstory to the conversion. There's five tracks on it. And each track tells of the little steps that I took along with God to finally walking towards the light and accepting Christ in my heart.
See, I'm so glad I asked you to say that because the song's going to mean so much more now. The first song we're going to play is Towards the Light. Tell us just a little bit about it before we play it.
Yeah, so Towards the Light is the exact same title as the album Towards the Light. This is the final song on the EP, and it tells about my daily journey, always walking towards the light. So when I found God, or when I say when God found me and accepted into my heart, I accepted him into my heart. And that love, every day that love drives me more and more walking with him towards the light with my journey here.
Excellent, excellent. So let's have a listen to this. This is Towards the Light, Angela Mahan. You're listening to Spirit Radio, the passionate sound of Spirit Radio. And we love to highlight new music here. That song is Towards the Light by Angela Mahan. If you're just joining me, I'm talking to Angela in the studio. We were just talking about her conversion, and that led to her writing the songs that are on this EP. And so tell us a little bit about your musical background and what got you. Have you always been musical, Angela, or is this a new thing in your life?
Yeah, no, I've always been a singer-songwriter and was a singer all my life growing up and was always writing songs. So I got very ill in my early 20s and that led to conversion. And after, I was 2 years out of work and 2 years sort of with an illness. And then after that, I applied to go to college, got into Maynooth, studied a degree there. And at the same time, I was cantoring under Monsignor Alex Stenson in Maynooth Church. So he sort of encouraged me to go and do the diploma in liturgy and church music as well. So I did that alongside the degree. So I spent 5 years in total down in Maynooth studying music. And then after that, met my husband, and we before we got married, we put our first album together.
And he's musical as
well. He's a violinist. Yeah, he's very musical as well. He plays with the RTÉ Orchestra and Wexford Opera Festival. He's involved with that every year. So yeah, he's quite musical as well. That's our first project together was Divine Friendship. That was an album that we released locally in 2009, but internationally in 2017. So and since then I continue to write music. Mm-hmm. I write the lyrics and the melody, and Robert arranges it, so he puts all the arrangement to it, and my brother actually plays the drums on it and he does the bass lines in it as well. So
that's great. So it's like a family. Yeah. It's a family thing. That's great. And so the EP, you've been working on the EP, and you said that it has a lot to do, the lyrics have a lot to do with your conversion. Yeah. And you're talking about that, so that's kind of the theme of it. How did you put all that together, and how long did it take to it must have been a work in progress.
Yeah, so like I said, I've always been sort of writing music and ideas come to me. And then last summer, so it's over the last 12 months, I've been working on these tracks, and I sort of collected these five together because I do think that they tell the story. Like the first one's called Struck Down by Grace, which leads to Break Free, then When I Found Love, Hope in the Horizon, and then the final one, Towards the Light. So I just got this idea to write a collection of music that tells them of my conversion back in my early 20s.
Lovely. And you brought me a little gift of the EP too. I really appreciate that. I'm going to enjoy that.
That's a special edition for you. It's not out until the 30th of August.
I feel really special now. I feel great. Thank you so much for that. And tell us, I want to give you a little bit of an opportunity too, because I know you a little bit, in personal life as well. You run a music school down in Wexford. We have loads of listeners down there. So I'd love for you to be able to just tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, sure. It's called the Kiltraskilly Music. We just celebrated 10 years in operation this year.
Wow, 10 years.
Yes, 10 years. And there's five teachers. Three of us are full-time. My brother teaches full-time there as well, and my husband, Robert. We teach all instruments from piano to jazz piano, electric piano, guitar, drums, violin, strings, singing. I'm the singing teacher there. And I also teach a bit of piano and pre-instrumental classes. And we're always nearly full. Like, you know, we are in a very rural area just outside Wellington Bridge.
People are delighted to have you there because it's hard to find teachers in rural areas.
Yeah, well, I think they are.
Yeah.
that's a feedback I get anyway. So I trust that.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And I think it's great to be able to help the next generation find their gifts and their talents in music, isn't it? That's
a
great
absolutely. It's great when you get kids who have a talent as well and they're willing to work hard with it.
Because you do have to work.
Yeah, it's not just about having a talent. In fact, if you have a desire to want to play an instrument or to sing, you can work with that much better than someone who has huge talent who doesn't want to do anything.
That's so true.
So you have to be willing to work. And we've had loads of students now who've gone on to study music in third level and they're doing well up there. So
Fantastic. Now I want to get back to the album because we have another track we're going to play at the end of the interview. And if you're just joining me now, I'll just remind you, we're talking to Angela Mahan. She is a singer-songwriter, and it's Saturday Magazine. Really, the show Saturday Magazine, not the album. The album's Towards the Light. So tell people how they can get their hands to purchase the music.
Yeah, so if you go to angelamahan.com, that's Mahan spelled M-A-H-O-N. It's like MacMahon, but take off the M-C, so angelamahan.com. If you go onto my website there, you can find all the information. You can pre-order Towards the Light, because it's actually not out until the 30th of August, so this is a real exclusive, getting to hear a couple of tracks today. But you can pre-order it. I'm also on Spotify, and all my old music from Divine Friendship and all, and one of the tracks, Break Free, is there. So if you go onto my website, yeah, you can find it all on angelamahan.com.
Super. Angela, thanks so much for coming on this morning and telling us about your music. And it's wonderful to be able to highlight Irish artists. And thanks so much for the gift. And I look forward to listening to the full EP. Have a great summer. And I hope the album does really well.
You too. Thanks very much for having me, Jackie.
Thank you so much. So just remind everybody, I'm going to let you remind it. Oh, yeah, I have it here. It's angelamahan.com, and it's Angela, M-A-H-O-N.com. And that's how you can pre-order the album that comes out later this month. Thanks so much, Angela.
Thanks, Jackie. Bye-bye.
Some time ago, on a cold, foggy evening, city lights flicker and buses passing by. Look to the sky with the same heavy heart, saying, Lord, you know, I just wanna die. Pain in my soul, driving me so crazy, being someone else.
It is Saturday Magazine, and our next guest is the director and writer of a play that reimagines moments of incredible bravery shown by women during World War II. In the studio now to tell us more, we have Mary Monahan. She is the director and writer of the play The Woman Is Present, Women's Stories of World War II, and you're very welcome to the show this morning, Mary.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. Can you tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay. My name is Mary Moynihan, and I'm originally from Dublin. And I have worked for many years now as artistic director of Smashing Times. And Smashing Times is using the arts to promote human rights, gender equality, climate justice. And we also incorporate Smashing Times Theatre and Film Company and Smashing Times Youth Arts Ensemble. And my work involves working as a writer and a director and, you know, working on the strategy of the company. And I also teach as well with the Conservatory of Music and Drama, so I'm involved in actor training as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. Busy woman. So tell us a little bit about how the idea came about for this play.
Okay, well, The Woman Is Present, Women's Stories of World War II. It's written by four writers, so there's myself, Paul Kennedy, Fiona Bond Thompson, and Phelim James. And the play actually started back in 2016. So Smashing Times was at that stage working across Europe with a number of different arts organisations and other human rights organisations, trade unions, education organisations. And we brought together four partner groups for a project called Women, War and Peace. And the four countries were Ireland, Spain, Germany and Poland. And one of the things we had to do with our project was each country had to research five women's stories from World War II. And we were going to make either a play or a film. Now, we ended up doing both.
Okay.
But I remember at the time thinking, because we were creating an original performance, and so that would involve research, finding the original source material, and then working with that. And I remember thinking, I don't know any women's stories from World War II, particularly Irish women, you know, because Ireland was neutral during the war. But as we discovered, Irish people were not neutral during the war. And I remember we brought all our partners to Dublin, and the Irish Jewish Museum in Portobello offered to do a talk for us. So we went up and did a tour of the museum, and then they did a talk. And I'll always remember that talk, because that's when I first heard the names Mary Elms and Eshi Steinberg. And we tell both of those stories in the performance. So Mary Elms is the first Irish person honoured as righteous among nations for her work saving Jewish children and Jewish families
from the Nazi concentration camps.
Yeah. She's an extraordinary woman. Her story is just one of, you know, bravery and passion, and just standing up for the rights of others, particularly at a time where fascism was, you know, trampling all over the dignity of the human being. And Eshi Steinberg was the only Irish woman that was murdered in Auschwitz. And we tell her story. It's her story of what happened to her and her young family.
It's really heart-rending kind of stuff. You know, you want to be you want to honor the accuracy, I'm sure, of the historical period and the time. A lot of research, like you mentioned, must really go into this. Tell us a little about the research. I mean, how much research do you have to put in to write a play like this?
Well, we spent a long time, possibly over 6 months, doing research. And I remember, particularly in relation to Mary Elms' story, that the Irish Jewish Museum gave us the information they had. And I remember going online and finding some, you know, obscure note somewhere on the internet to do with the Quaker Society. And I remember writing to them, and they sent me back a letter putting me in touch with a man called Bernard Wilson. And I always like to thank Bernard, because he was an English man who was living in the south of France, and he had gone around. When he was living down there, he used to notice all these empty buildings, and they were left over from World War II. And now today a lot of these buildings would have plaques, and, you know, the camp where Mary worked is now a museum. But Bernard wanted to find out more, and he kept going around, and Reivsalt concentration camp was the place where Mary Elms was, where all the Jewish families were and the Spanish families. And Bernard kept hearing this name, Miss Mary. So he wanted to find out more about who was Miss Mary, and he discovered that it was Mary Elms, and he did a huge amount of research. And at the same time, so just to tell you a little bit about Mary Elms, she was actually from Cork, and she studied in Trinity College. She did French and Spanish, and then she won a scholarship to London and then to Geneva. And when she was in Geneva, she heard about the Spanish Civil War, so she went over, not to fight, but to, because she is a pacifist, she went over to work with the Spanish people who were fleeing from the fascists to work with the refugees. So, you know, when she arrived in, there was the massacre that happened when the Spanish were people were fleeing from the city of Malaga to Almeria, and they were bombed by the fascists, and she was there working in the ambulance service and then later working in homes looking after the children. And then when Spain fell to Franco, she went over the border into France with the Spanish refugees, and the Spanish refugees were incarcerated in camps, and Mary stayed there to work with her Spanish friends. And then they started to round up the Jewish families and put them into the same camp, this Riefsalt camp. And when they started to ship the families out to their death, basically, Mary Ems and her colleagues did a huge amount of work, risking their own lives to save these people.
Wow, that's amazing. And there must be. I mean, I'm imagining, maybe I'm wrong, but I would think there's a huge burden of responsibility to get that story right, because this is a real person. This is her real story. This is not a fictional character. How do you deal with that aspect when you're writing a play like this?
Well, when we're writing, you know, because for a long time, the way we would work was we would, because I've worked a lot in Northern Ireland, exploring stories from a legacy of the conflict. And very often we would do a lot of research and do interviews and gather the material. But then you would create what we call fictional pieces or true fiction. Mm-hmm. So everything in the performance has actually happened, but it was fictionalized. But when we came to these stories, we found it very difficult to do that, because we felt we have to be telling their story, and it has to be clear it's their story. Now, we do say they are imagined recreations. We are trying to be as truthful as we can to the original story, and we're telling the essence of the story, if you like. But there are moments where we don't have the facts and information, so it's an imaginative response, if you like. But I do think there's a onus on the artist to try and respect the work, while at the same time respecting your aesthetic and staying true to your art form. Mm. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah, it is a balancing act. I'm sure it is. And in case you're just joining us, this is Saturday Magazine on Spirit Radio. We're chatting with director and writer of The Woman is Present, Women's Series of World War II. Mary, tell us just a little bit about this post-show discussion piece, because I think that's a really nice aspect. I've been to a few plays like that where it's like a historical piece, and afterwards you can chat about, with some of the actors or the writers about the piece. I imagine that's quite an interesting part of the production.
It is, and we've always had the policy in Smashing Times, we very much enjoy having post-show discussions, so a lot of our performances would always have a post-show discussion. And I always say it's like the full circle. Half the circle is the performance and the other half is the audience, where you're connecting. And we love to open it up. So we have the artists and we have two guest speakers, because a big part of the post-show is to enable the audience to talk about what they've just seen, but also to talk about the relevance of those stories for today. And we're delighted to have Clodagh Finn. And Clodagh is an author, and she wrote a book called A Time to Risk All, which actually tells the untold story of Mary Ems. And Clodagh, when we first did the play, Clodagh came to see a performance, and she was so intrigued, and she really enjoyed the performance, and she went away and spent a year researching the life of Mary Ems, and she wrote this amazing book, A Time to Risk All, which is now published, and it tells this story. And we're delighted to have Clodagh. And actually, they're opening, there's a new bridge now, because Mary Ems' story is becoming more well known.
I have heard of it. Yeah. It's been in the papers and things. Yeah,
the Mary Ems Bridge. And then our other speaker is John Morgan, who is a lawyer from Dublin, and he has a long-standing interest in historic memory, and particularly around World War II. And John is he's a founder secretary with the Basque Pyrenees Freedom Trails Association, which is based in the Basque country in Spain. And he's also actually involved with the Hugh O'Flaherty Memorial Society. And John is he's very interested in raising awareness of the stories of particularly of Irish people who were involved in the resistance during World War II. Mm-hmm. And there was actually they were involved in getting a plaque to remember over 50 Irish people who were involved with the French resistance, and that was set up in the Irish College in Paris in 2014. So we're delighted to have these two speakers to
Fantastic,
talk about
yeah.
There's so many stories.
Yeah, that'll be
there.
A really interesting yeah. discussion. Yeah, yeah. Tell me, it's been performed, we were talking about this before we went on air, it's been performed in Ireland before. What kind of reviews and what kind of interest did the play get when you've been running it?
Well, that's actually the funny thing, because these stories, there are moments in these stories where they're quite sad, and you know they're dark times. Mm. But the audiences always go away very uplifted, and there's almost this. I think there's this connection happens when audiences recognise these stories that are about humanity, and our audiences are always very buzzed, as I say. They seem to really enjoy the performance because they're going away inspired by the bravery and the passion of the women they're seeing on stage. Yeah. And this seems to, I think it lights a fire in people.
Oh, of course.
And it makes people want to know more about what they did, and, you know, just their acts of standing up for the dignity of others.
Tell us about the upcoming performances if people are interested in what they're hearing and maybe want to come along.
Well, if you go to Smashing Times, it's www.smashingtimes.ie, and we have information there because we have The Woman is Present in Rathfarnham Castle on the 22nd of August. And then we also have the first Dublin Arts and Human Rights Festival, which is taking place from the 19th to the 29th of September. And that's happening in a number of venues in Dublin, the Samuel Beckett Theatre, in the Science Gallery, in the DLR Mill Theatre in Dundrum. And there'll be a range of talks and performances and music events and poetry nights, and all that information will be on our website.
Well, Mary, thanks so much for coming in this morning and sharing this information with us. It's very, very interesting, and I imagine it was a real labor of love as well.
Yes, we really enjoy doing this work.
I'm sure you do. So it's The Woman is Present, Women's Stories of World War II, and you can go to smashingtimes.ie to get more information about showtimes and where it's going to be over the next few weeks and coming months. So thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.